Turn your Bibles again to Matthew chapter 8. Beginning with verse 16. When the even was come, this is the Sabbath even. If you go to Mark, he tells you it was the Sabbath. This is the reason they waited all day to bring the sick. They had to abide by that no work and rest idea of the Sabbath. And notice the Lord didn't say anything to them. He just didn't correct their superstition. He just heals them. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits, there it is again, with a word, and healed all that were sick. Now verse 17 is interesting. You might make some notes and just study this on your own. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. So in the fulfillment of this, start thinking of substitution. Substitution. Carry it all the way through, but think about it right here. Think about these questions. You answer them. I didn't. I don't know that I can do anything but think about them, but it's worth thinking about. The Lord takes the sickness, thus removing it from these people. He takes it. He heals our infirmities by taking them upon himself. Sin. So ask yourself this. Did every miracle of healing take something out of our Lord? You know, he said in one passage, he said, I perceive that lady touched him. And he said this strange thing. He said, I perceive virtue has gone out of me. Did he suffer while he relieved suffering? What brings on suffering? Sin does, don't it? Did he suffer while relieving suffering? Was every blessing from him costly to him? Mark says, in Mark 7, verse 34, he writes that he sighs. He sighs. John writes that with deep emotion he healed. We talked about a few weeks ago the leper. He was full of compassion, moved with compassion. And then it brings over what Peter said in 1 Peter 2. In his body he bore our sins on the tree. That's not the message. It's just get more something to do this week. Take that verse and study it out. I don't know. Verse 18, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever you go. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. The title of this message is Considering the Scribe. We had room on our titles, I would probably say grace folks, grace people should consider the scribe. Or I could say religious folks should consider the scribe, because that's what this is going to be about. Considering the scribe. It says a certain scribe. Well, not just any scribe, a certain scribe. Gets our attention, don't it? Got to pay attention. Something about this scribe and the lesson learned from this scribe is going to be different. Two types of scribes in the scripture. Our Lord condemned one of them with the Pharisees. They were Old Testament writer and man used to say copiers, copied the words of the Old Testament onto scrolls. And then there was another type, and I don't know if this may be this one. There was a legal scribe, and he was able to write marriage license and real estate documents. That was the other scribe, and it could have been this common scribe is what he was called, a common scribe. It could have been this one that came to our Lord. But in either case, he said, "Master, I will follow you wherever you go, wherever you go." And immediately, we all, as good religious folks, want to picture people that we've seen in the past, don't we? Well, don't do that. Picture yourself. Let's picture ourselves again this morning. "Master, will I follow you wherever you go?" Be easy to look around these empty pews and do that, wouldn't it? Just picture folks that have gone. But let's not, for fear that our pew may be empty next week. All right, this first point is this: the good and the encouraging things about this guy. First thing is, he's very respectful, wasn't he? Very respectful. He said, "Master." Master. So he saw or he felt something in what was going on that demanded respect. You know, our Lord said, "You call me," another point of time, he said, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am." And this man recognized that. Lord didn't correct that, did he? "Master, I'll follow you wherever you go." So he begins his confession. However it ends, he begins it well. By addressing Christ as Lord. You know, we detest irreverence, don't we? Jesus. You know, we don't run from that name, but we sure demand respect, and we cringe with the way Jesus is used most of the time. Without proper title or respect, that's how typically folks use the name of Jesus. Brittany was telling me, you know, we need to be careful. Brittany was telling me about Jack's picking up on these things, these little slangs that is so easy to start using, and we shouldn't. We got to be careful because these kids hear these things, you know. And we just these little old sayings that we have, you know what they are, you know, if you say them, "Oh my gosh," and those things like that, it's, you know, kids pick up and then they start using it. And then, you know, just be careful, including me. It's one of those, you know, our language sometimes, we excuse it for the liberties of grace, I think, don't we? Like so many things, we'll talk about that in a little while. But he starts off well, Master. These are very hopeful start. I mean, we know folks who are flippant with that name, and we know going in that there's very little knowledge with it, just the way they use the title of our Lord. Not much hope in just the way they're addressing things. But this one, this scribe, had a good start, didn't he? Here's another thing. He was very enthusiastic and ready. This scribe, whichever scribe he was a man of order. I mean, he did the same thing every day at the same... I mean, if you're going to be whatever kind of transcriber he was, that's a job of order, isn't it? Very ordered life. Probably most folks would consider it mundane. Get up and go to work, do the same thing, come home, get up the next day, go do the same thing. Orderly life. Calm life. Very calm life. It doesn't appear anybody pressed him to say what he said or did it, does it? So he just, on his own, out of his ordinary life, said, "I'll be a follower. I'll be a follower." I think he meant well. He observed the blessings all around him, and with an obedient spirit, he quickly said, "I'll follow you." He pledged allegiance immediately to the master, and he got it right. And the Lord was leaving. He thought this. He said, "I may never see him again." It tells us that he was fixing to go down to the sea, to the other side of the Galilee. And this Christ, "I may never get this opportunity again. Master, I'll follow you. I'll quit this everyday job that I've got. Leave it all and follow you." So he was adamant. Here's the third thing. He is adamant. "Master, I will follow you." No ifs, ands, and buts. Just out the door he came and to the crowd and said, "Master, I'll follow you." Whoever else may not in this crowd, "I will. I will." Who does that sound like? That sounds like Peter, don't it? "I will. I will do it." And you know, and the Lord had warned, he warns, he said, anybody that puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not worthy. Well, this scribe says, "I'll do it. I'll do it." He looked around at his writing, at his job. He was probably there at his house and said, "I'll do it. I'll just do it." Doesn't appear he thought, with no looking back, "I'll do it." The old saying is, lack of determination courts defeat, and that's true, isn't it? You got to be determined before you ever start a thing, or you're just not going to finish it. And this he appears to have all the right motive, don't he? Appears resolute, clear cut, willing to separate from his old life. And again, our Lord said, "The kingdom of heaven is taken by force and the violent." However it goes, you know what I'm saying? Got it the other way around, I think. But this man appears to be one of those, don't he? Here he comes. Teeth grit. Doing it. By violence, I'm going to take this. I'm determined. I will follow you. And what he said, he didn't restrict. He didn't say, "I'll follow you to the edge of the sea," or "I'll follow you every time you come to the town here." What did he say? "I will follow you wherever you go. To the sea, into the boat, to the other side." Where was he going on the other side? To devil country. The land of the Gadarenes. That's where he was headed there. "I'll follow you to the land of devils. Wherever you go, I'll go." That sounds like Peter once again, don't it? Right? "Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." So the scribe here makes no exception of any kind. Not a word in that statement was there an exception given. He was determined to go. Then we should all be, as believers, we should all be those that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. That's the right thing to do, isn't it? Through floods and flames and trials, sorrows, our resolve should be what this guy says. We will follow you wherever you go, as believers, whatever and whenever. I'll follow. And then here's the other thing. Here, the last positive. probably the best. He was right. He was right. Not a thing he said was wrong. He was right. Now, I'm going to show you the negatives in the next point, but everything this guy said was absolutely correct. "Master, I will follow you wherever you go." Isn't that what our Lord expects? Is he satisfied with any less? Unless better or worse or sickness or death? Have we followed our groom as we should have? Isn't that what's lacking in religion today? Isn't it? Even truth, grace, isn't it lacking? Look around. Look around. Is it lacking? Fidelity to Christ. Lack of simple words. Remember these words that Mary told those folks at Cana? Whatever he says to you, do it. What's lacking, isn't it? I don't want to hear what he says. Whatever he says to you, do it. What our Lord asks is not an ask, really, it's a command. And whatever the command is, it's right. It's just right. It's right to demand obedience, isn't it? It's right. And it's right for us to obey with respect, enthusiasm, determination, and resolve. So this scribe appeared genuine, didn't he? Just appeared genuine. But notice, unlike us, you know, we would have taken this guy immediately. We'd have taken him right on in. For good reason. Like I said, he didn't say anything wrong, did he? Not a thing wrong. So why wouldn't we have taken him? All we have to go on is his words. What's our Lord? We can't read his mind, though, can we? Our Lord read his thoughts, it appears. We can't do that. And he answers just this. He didn't say come, he didn't say go. He just says, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He tests him, don't he? Test him with just a word, just a phrase. So let's look at the negatives. It was a sudden decision. Sudden decision. It was the fruit of excitement, I'm afraid. It was an exciting evening. I mean, you try to imagine. I sat at home and tried to just picture how that must have been. I mean, you know, it wasn't lit like we would have, you know, just torches. Torches is there that night. You had torches. So you had a lot of shadows. A lot of commotion. The street was full of folks, though. There was miracles going on. There was a hospital on the street that night. Just imagine all the shouts. A man that couldn't see all of a sudden sees. A lady who couldn't walk all of a sudden. What? Can you imagine? Somebody who couldn't hear all of a sudden hears. Just hear what. Can you imagine what would be going on that night? And it was real. It wasn't like one of these crazy hill services that's not real. Folks get excited there. This was actually going on. I couldn't imagine all the joyful sounds, the screams, the shouts, the laughter, the singing. All that was going on that night. So out of intense emotion, I'm afraid, this scribe is seeing all that, and he says, Master, I'll follow you wherever you go. Here's the thing. Only the heart and soul can receive grace. But here's another thing. Here's what often we're not privy to. It's just humans. But the mind, the body, the mind, the emotions, and the body, the actions, they can make a pretty good show of something that may go on in the soul, can it? To us, we can't tell the difference. Make a pretty good show of it, can't they? We've seen it. But they're dead. No matter what the mind, the emotions do, or the body, whatever actions, no matter what they do, they're dead. Because what's the key to the kingdom? You must be born again. This scribe saw the outer Christ. You remember over there when he got onto those folks, he said, "You're not following me because you believe or saw or believe Saul was spiritualized." He said, "You're following me because your bellies are full." That's what the scribe was doing. He saw the outer part of Christ. He saw all of this, but he missed the heart of Christ. He missed the person of Christ. See where I'm headed with today, with what we deal with? Huh? Maybe in this grace circle, folks missing the heart of Christ? Hmm? They're missing his person? Missing the spiritual part of Christ, the divine part of Christ. He couldn't say to this scribe what he said to Peter. We compared Peter to the scribe, but he couldn't say to the scribe what he said to Peter. "Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood didn't reveal me to you, but my Father." See, it's a spiritual thing. It's not an emotional thing. Not a head thing. In here. Heart. Verse 21 there. And another of his disciples said to him, over in Luke it says, the Lord said to this disciple here, "Follow me. Follow me." And the guy was reluctant in Luke. He said, "Let me go bury my father." And in Luke, the Lord says, "Let the dead bury the dead. You come preach the gospel." That's what I tell you. You come preach the kingdom. What was missing? He didn't give this scribe an effectual call like he did this guy. Even though that guy was reluctant, he followed, I think. He followed. He had to, because the Lord said follow. He had to follow him. He said, "Follow me and come preach the gospel." He didn't tell that to this scribe, did he? You know, the mind and the body, the emotions and the actions, without grace, will only rise so high. They'll only follow so long. We've seen folks follow, Steve. We've seen folks follow for decades. I've seen men sit. I saw a man sit just about where you are, stand up here when he was gone for decades and preach and brought a good message. And he's left it all. Left it all. Mind and body without grace, emotions and actions without grace will only rise so high. And that's just the truth. Got a little pond over there at that farm, and it'll only rise as high as that dam is. No, that's it. It runs off. Here's the other thing. Well, let me say this. Sudden conversions are not impossible, but they're usually not genuine. Just usually not genuine. You got to learn some things, don't you? You got to learn them in here. Can't more than up here. I got to get into here. Got to consider. Consideration's a good thing. This guy, that's the second part of this negative testing. This guy was what he said was unconsidered, completely unconsidered. Look over at Luke chapter 14. This is our Lord's advice, warning. Verse 28, "For which of you intending to build a tower..." Don't sit down first. If you're going to build a house, you sit down first and see how much it's going to cost you, don't you? If you're a good builder, if you're a good contractor, if you don't do that, you're going to be out of business in a year if you don't think about what it's going to cost. "Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able..." I've seen this 1,000 times. house will sit framed up until it's the 2x4 start warping. Now you say somebody didn't consider the cost. They didn't consider the cost. Or what king, he says, goes to war? Don't figure out how many men he's going to need to win the war. If he don't figure it out, he's going to come back with his tail tucked between his legs, isn't he? You aren't going to take 1,000 out to meet 10,000, are you? There's you, Robert E. Lee, and then he didn't have a choice, did he? See what he said? Our Lord says, consider. Consider what you're doing. Consider following me. This scribe didn't consider that, did he? He just said, I'll do it. He jumped to a decision. Didn't realize the meaning of discipleship. But then once enlightened, once the Lord tells him that short little phrase about the foxes, he appears to go away. Never hear of him again. I hope he's a believer some way. I do. But it appears he never came back. Just went away. So we ask ourselves now, do we consider the cost? Have we? Have we considered the cost? As we sit and discover and learn the scripture and the requirements, you know, myself and Steve and Jason have been doing this, helping for several years now, and makes you consider, don't it? The more you learn, the more you consider what you may have missed. You know, have I considered enough? So as we discover things in the scripture, the requirements of the scripture, is there anything that you kick against? Do we kick against it? Do we reject it? Well, if you do, you might ought to sit down and consider some more. Or as we receive instructions, do we reply, even so, I will follow the Lamb wherever he goes. As we receive more and more and more instruction. If you do, then you've considered. You've considered. You've thought about it. Many in today's religion today are like those who just went back and follow no more. Probably like this scribe, just went back. What's the result of that? What's the result of these folks just right here in this little building? What's the result of those who go back and follow no more to you? Huh? What is it? To the community. What's the result of that? Well, when they leave, their hearts are hardened, aren't they? Not many ever come back. Now, they'll float to another church a lot of times, but eventually, y'all know better than me. They'll eventually wind up nowhere, for the most part. Just sort of, they'll go here. Pride makes them go somewhere for a while, and then that's basically it. They're gone. Hardened hearts brings discredit to the church, don't it? To the word, to the truth. Dashes our hopes, don't it? But as careful as we are, it happens. It happens. I thought about this. How many people can define grace and not apply grace? A lot of them. We know the truths of grace pretty good. Can we apply it? We love the words of the preacher or the preachers, but maybe even love the preacher. Not his words. I've known folks just love the preacher. But I've known a lot that love the words of a preacher. Especially the more charismatic the guy is. Love the words of the preacher. But miss the vital essence of the message. They never hear the message. Never hear the message. Here, Steve, I thought about, they want the liberties of grace. I think that happens a lot in this grace movement. They want the liberties of grace. But they'll reject being a slave to grace. They'll reject that, won't they? But you are. You're a slave to this thing. You got no choice. Look at verse 11 and 12 up there in chapter 8. He said, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west. And what's that talking about? And shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. They're coming from all directions. East and west. There's an untold number of folks coming in reality that we never even considered coming.
Right.
Never even thought about it. But here's the scary thing. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. Now, immediately you say, well, that's just the Jews he's talking to. Are grace people the children of the kingdom? Don't we think we're the children of the kingdom? Huh? Don't we think that because we came from believing parents, we're children of the kingdom? Folks in the U.S. think they're children of the kingdom because it's a Christian country? See how broad that children of the kingdom can be? Huh? Think about this. William J., I'm going to paraphrase it. He said this about this children of the kingdom. He said, those who believe election, those folks think it's their kingdom. Those who believe in universal redemption, those folks think it's their kingdom. He said, my theory is, my guess is, it's going to be mainly made up of those who know nothing about either one of them. Folks who define grace, who presume upon the truth, the grace, the truth, the gospel, who've had the kingdom from a child. I've had the kingdom from a child. Scares me to death that I may let it go. That I may be like this scribe and walk away. Had it from a child. These girls have had it from a child. Those grandkids had it since they were born. They're going to reject it. Somebody in this room going to reject it? Here's things to think about. Last point, things to think about. Do versus promise. His words sounded good, didn't they? Sounded good. But suppose he had just followed him. Suppose he had just followed him instead. You know, folks want a time and a place. A testimony is what they call it. A time and a place. And I guess you got to have that. You know, I guess. I don't know if I've got a testimony, Steve. Been baptized a couple of times. I hope the last one was good. I don't know. Sometimes I don't know if I give you a time or a place. I really don't, being honest with you. Somebody said, well, you ain't supposed to be preaching unless you can give me a good testimony. Well, I can't, so fire me. I don't know. I just don't know. Sometimes I feel like I may be like old Forrest Gump. Forrest said he just started running one day. And one day he ran out of his county and out of his state and got to the end of, got to the ocean, turned around and ran back. And that's me. I'm honest. I just get up every day and I hope I can follow to the end of that day. One more day. That's all the testimony I got. I don't have a good one. Just step at a time. Step at a time. This guy said, I will. What he should have said is, by God's grace, I will. By God's grace, I will. I will follow today, and hopefully, by God's grace, I will get up in the morning and follow again. What's the Lord going to say if we do follow to the end? He'll say, is he going to say, well said, my good and faithful servant? Or what is it? Well done. Well done. May not do it well, but I just want to do it to the end. And then you got to consider these things to think about. Is Christ worth the price? Is he worth it? Is he worth the price? For the truth, I'm talking about the truth now. For the truth's sake, you're going to do this. You're going to lose some friends. You're going to find out what you believe. You're going to lose some friends. You're going to lose some family. You're going to have to deal with some contempt, some misunderstanding. And that's pretty minor for us. Some folks in some places lose life. They have before. They're losing life right now for truth's sake. Going to face persecution and death. We may before all this is over with. You know, many folks in religion, I'm talking about this grace thing, this grace group of people. Many, they don't hold Christ dear enough to get through a toothache. They really don't. Just don't hold him dear enough to get through a toothache. I always think of this scripture here. If the footman tire you, what in the world are you going to do when the cavalry gets here? What about the reward? Are you willing to give up all and forsake all if it comes to it? We're not there yet, are we? But are you willing? I know grace will figure that out, and there'll be grace when we get there. But do you ever think about it? Do you consider, like this man should? I consider it. What if? What if, Lord? What if? What if? The truth and the gospel isn't a moneymaker. Let me ask you this. Could you dig a ditch? Give up a good job and just dig a ditch if it meant having a place come worship? Could you get along that way? Or just pack a hamburger in a bag at McDonald's if it meant having a place to come worship? Some don't. I've traveled all over this world, all over these United States for a better job and never consider where they're going to go to church. And they're supposed to be grace people. Can we do this? Moses did it. Can we be like Moses and count the reproach of this world greater, or for the sake of Christ, greater riches for Christ than the world is? Can we do what Moses did? Can we forsake it all? Does grace enable us to take Christ with all of the consequences? Is the voice, you know, that guy over in Luke, when he, don't give you that, Matthew, don't give you, go into detail, but in Luke, that guy said, the Lord said, follow me. And the man said, he was reluctant. He said, let the dead bury the dead. He said, let me go bury my father. He said, let the dead bury the dead. He thought about it. And the Lord said, again, he said, you come preach the gospel. And then there was a third man there in Luke that said, I'll follow you. Two of the three said, I'll follow you. He only said to one of the three, follow me. Which one do you think followed? Had to be that one he said, follow me. Had to be him. Follow me. Am I one of the they? Am I that one of the three? Am I going to be that one that will follow the Lamb wherever he goes? Or when things get tough, will I just sort of disappear into the crowd? I don't know. Time will tell, won't it? Time will tell.